It's on the way. Plenty of leg. Good!
It's football time in the Bluegrass. You're listening to the KSR Football Podcast.
It's not stone cold. It's rash. And yes, it's broken glass because I broke the podcast. I did. This is me issuing my formal apology because I did something I haven't done since the first podcast. I made a goof, and so what you are about to hear, I really am beat up about this. Feel free to beat me up on Twitter, at RouchKSR. Blame me as much as you would like. But I don't worry. You can make fun of me and call me as many names as you want. I've called myself worse. I was really angry because it is we got back in our rhythm today. In our football podcasting rhythm. It was great, but my big, stupid, dumb butt messed up, hit the wrong button, and it sounds like crap. And so I've done my best to fix it. Please tolerate it. If you cannot tolerate it because wires are hitting against another microphone, if it's too bad for you, you have my sincerest apology. There's an alternative. You can listen to the 11 Personnel podcast where we really talked about, really broke down Toledo's game. A little fewer laughs, not as many stories from Austin McGinnis, but I sincerely apologize. But please give me a little bit of leeway. After all, it is still the preseason, but we will be back better than ever next week. I will make sure everything is plugged in. We will be distraction-free. We will be on our A game right after the Cats. Knock those rockets right out of the sky. Still, hope you enjoy it, and God bless you all. God bless your souls for putting up with me, this big idiot. Luckily, preseason's over. We're moving past it. Cats are beating Toledo.
Folks, it's game week. The Cats are playing the Rockets, and we're here, fired up, ready to roll. At KS Bar and Grill before the Cats take on Toledo Saturday noon at Kroger Field. Austin McGinnis, can you feel the football in you?
I'm a little nervous, you know. I got that animosity in me just knowing that it's game week.
You just hate Rockets this week. You're ready to shoot them down out of the sky.
Yeah, I'm RPG in every Rocket I see this week.
Drew Franklin, how are you doing this afternoon?
Well, a week ago, we talked about how excited I am for football. That has not changed. In fact, it's magnified. I'd say at least times 10 as it was last week.
Times 10?
You know, we got the depth chart out to talk about.
Yeah.
Down. I've done some Toledo research. I've driven by Commonwealth Stadium and seen the trailers.
Whoa, Kroger Field.
Kroger Field. Apologies to Kroger. I know that naming right cost you a lot. But it's finally time. Just a few more days, and I cannot wait.
Me neither. I really can't. It feels like, Mark Stoops, never a big fan of talking season, and it feels like this one... It was doing really, like, we were just chugging right along, and then a week before the game, it's been dragging on at a snail's pace. I just want to get there because I haven't had enough to celebrate. It's not like one of my friends got engaged or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Who did that?
Yeah. The losers who did it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Congrats, by the way.
That's what I did last weekend.
Yeah. You picked a good weekend to do it. Really built up all of your points before football season.
And if I didn't do it last weekend, it would have been April because...
Or you could have done it at Kroger Field.
That's true. She would have killed me.
You could have tried out the new skyline and then popped at the question.
Yeah, I don't know if she's big on the do it in front of 30,000 people, but yeah, knocked that out last weekend, got it done. That way she can't say anything about my gambling habits this coming weekend.
She's in the clear accepted. For at least 6 weeks.
She can't say anything about how much I'm going to... Put on college football on Saturday. We're good to go.
Good to go.
Anything bad happens, you just tap on that ring finger.
Yeah.
And she'll look down at it. Okay, he loves me.
Now, I still got to keep her to signing day.
Yeah.
I got to keep recruiting them.
Yep. Definitely.
I don't want any, you know, more prestigious programs coming in and bringing them for a visit, because we all know I would lose out to the Alabamas as well. But yeah, as of right now, I still have a yes. Things are still looking good.
Young Vince Mero over here getting commits.
Well, and we were kind of joking before you got here, Austin, that the KSR crew, we have followed Mark Stoops and Vince Mero's recruiting philosophy, all going after Ohio guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was just telling Nick, Vince texted me and said, congratulations on your engagement. And my response was that I actually copied his recruiting model and went north of the river for some good talent.
Yeah, he loved that.
He said, make sure nobody tries to flip him. And I'm going to keep recruiting to sign him.
Yep. I have an Ohio gal, and so does Matthew Harper Jones. So
yeah,
we've really invested heavily in Ohio. And you know what? I don't know why more people don't head north.
You got to. It worked out for the three of us.
Yeah, it certainly did. And they luckily they're very understanding of it. They know that football is a holy time. That the next few weekends we are going to be crazy people, starting at like waking up at 6:30, 7 a.m. Yeah. Saturday morning.
Our pregame show starts at 8. When I get up at 7, that's probably not going to go well in the household.
Yep.
That's it. Already got that taken care of last week. Just have to deal with it.
Exactly. And the pregame show is at the KS Bar,
right? At KS Bar. Yeah. Come join us. KS Bar will not be open at 8.
Which is pretty funny. We're going to do the pregame show.
Well, we're doing it outside.
Okay.
But our poor kitchen staff is already going to have to work around the clock. The last thing we need to do is come in even earlier. For those listening that plan on coming, KS Bar will open at 9. Pre-game show will be going on outside on the sidewalk at 8, but you won't be able to come in for now.
And there's a few new additions to game day this year. I know that the student section, they have moved it. So not the student section, but the actual entrance, is that instead of being right there on Talbot Todd Way, they're not going to be getting in your way to go to the catwalk anymore. I believe they're now at gate 1. Students, if you're listening, just do it. You can figure out exactly what gate it is. But you're no longer in that end zone, so you aren't getting in people's way at the catwalk. And then they've added some concessions, Austin McGinnis.
Yeah, I saw that. A lot of good stuff.
So are you...
I go at halftime and get a snack.
Okay.
Is that what you're trying to ask?
No, I'm trying to ask, of the three new ones, you've got to love one, marry one, kill one. Skyline, Bourbon and Toulouse, Chick-fil-A.
Okay. It's gonna be a little out of left field, but I'm gonna marry Bourbon and Toulouse.
Okay.
What am I getting intimate with another?
No, Chick-fil-A. You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. Just a lot.
You're gonna love it.
Yes.
Yeah, I like Chick-fil-A.
Yes, okay. And then you're gonna kill Skyline.
Kill Skyline.
Shoot into the moon.
Before it kills me when I put it in my body, that poisonous food. You know, I'm kidding. Shout out to Skyline.
I'm pro Skyline, big fan. I've gone a lot now that's been in Lexington. I never really had it before it came to Lexington, so I'm not a really Kentucky person. Good fan. But if I'm at a college football game, I don't know that I want it.
I mean, a chili cheese dog is tasty. Like
tasty.
The little conies, but I don't know.
I think it's right on par, though, with people drinking. It's a very...
People not like drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah. Common
people. Folk. Beforehand.
Yeah, that's not...
I'll say it. Sometimes I have to go to the bathroom pretty soon after eating it. And I don't know, at a UK football game is where I want to do that.
See, Skyline, that's why he picking Bourbon and Toulouse to marry is the right idea, because the various options, very tasty, very scrumptious. Whereas Chick-fil-A, just good to have around, but it's not there for you on Sunday. So, you know, when it's not always there for you, you know, it's kind of like your side chick.
And speaking of the bathrooms at Commonwealth, a while back we got the reno to the stadium.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, these are about to be so nice, everything's gonna be brand new, and then I go to like a normal bathroom and what did they upgrade? There's troughs.
They
like,
did not upgrade anything.
Yeah, what did they put new tin in on the, you know?
That's the upgrade of troughs.
The toilet paper, it's a different ply.
Ah, there
two,
it is.
Two ply now?
Yeah, two ply.
They've replied the toilet paper.
Yeah.
They have.
Dwight Schrute it in.
Yes, they've Dwight Schrute it in. But so some changes coming to game day, but most of the, you know, they're still going to be doing the catwalk 2.5 hours before kickoff.
We have the big drum. When does that come into play?
I guess before the game, they're going to get somebody.
I thought it might have been like a between quarters kind of thing. I don't.
Yeah, I'm very anti big drum because like there's two other schools that really
one is a rival.
Yeah,
that actually comes to Kentucky.
Exactly, like they make it Missouri and Purdue. That's both of their like calling cards. So it's like, do we really need a drum too? Yeah, when whoever Joe Blow former player comes up to bang that drum, I'm gonna be cheering in the press box. There's no cheering in the press box, but I think we can cheer for a big blue drum.
Is this something new?
This is brand new for the spring game.
It's just a big drum, like exactly what you're imagining.
Okay. Maybe as large as that TV.
Have a celebrity. Might even be you one week. Come maybe out and hit it a couple times.
It's like they had in Seattle, but theirs is really cool because you're like up above one of the uprights and you're like kind of on a balcony.
Yeah,
we
this one I think they just roll it up.
To sentiment the 12 man.
See, we need to get you banging the drum.
I got an idea. I'll get everyone hyped.
Whatever their beat is, say it's five just hits. They line up. Five footballs, yes. And he kicks them into the drums.
Oh!
Love that.
Yes. Yes.
Tired of helping you, Kmart.
Yeah. Can we just? Let's. I'm writing that down.
I'm gonna
send
them an invoice.
you've earned it because that is a sports center kind of idea too. That's not just like a.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a fantastic
it's
idea.
Too late to change it from a drum. You just point out two other programs have it. I almost wish they'd gone with another instrument, like a gigantic
tuba,
harmonica.
Yeah,
no, imagine a trumpet.
Or like a really like long
the horse race.
Imagine like a 20-foot flute, and someone's blowing on the end, but then like five different people are covering up the holes to make the noise.
I like that. I like where your head's at.
The world's largest flute. I have a giant saxophone.
Blows on it, and then the rest of the coaches have to operate the holes.
You've got to get on a ladder to blow into the saxophone.
Full of ideas.
Great ideas. Now, I think the best idea so far going into week one is Terry Wilson's new shoes from True Blue Customs that Scoop Drew Franklin over here had the exclusive.
Scoop Drew Franklin's having a hard time keeping that secret. I've known about that one for almost 2 months.
And
finally I was like, hey guys, the game's in 4 days. I'm putting this up.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, who reached out to who on that? Was that like...
I can't reveal my sources, project. But I've talked to Terry and True Blue.
What's
the project?
What's Billy's last name?
I couldn't Hobbs.
Remember. Billy Hobbs, there we go. I kept wanting to call him Billy Hicks. Yeah. Different people. Billy Hobbs, very talented.
I didn't include this in my story, but Terry had a couple of good ideas. I'm pretty sure, I didn't want to make this official in words, if him could hold me to it. I'm pretty sure he wanted to auction them off and then give that money to the phone from the NCAA side.
Well, because that's what the NCAA does.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not positive on that, but I feel comfortable enough in saying it on this podcast that he was going to go that route. He's still weighing some other options. He might just give them to Jared's son. I don't want to speak to what he's actually doing, but I know there's a couple of different things he's considering.
That sounds like that would be... I wonder what size shoe Terry wears. It's like goals. Like, I want to be able to grow into a 13 to be able to wear these shoes one day.
And as of last week, he said he was wearing them against Toledo. Well, they didn't announce Jared Lorenzen Day on Thursday.
Yeah, so maybe...
I guess, in theory, he could decide to wait. But the plan, as far as I know, is to wear them Saturday.
Yeah, he can wear them Saturday. And then maybe bust them back out for Arkansas game. Yeah.
Anyway, they're very cool for those who haven't seen them.
We're custom... Like, you should have... Austin, did you ever think about doing, like, a custom right shoe? Just the right one.
Well, like the golden shoe. Opposite shoes, but no, I never try to draw like, attention to myself. I just wanted to come in and do my job, but
just going to what? We'll get your lunch pail.
I mean, mine as well. Yeah, no one.
So what was it like? A blue and a white shoe? Did it matter, or was it one a soccer cleat?
Is it your plant shoe and your booming shoe?
Yeah, I had one football cleat on my plant foot and then a soccer cleat on my foot.
Okay, that's smart.
Yeah, it just gives you a little extra stability.
It seemed to work very well for you.
It did. It helps.
Okay, so I have something we're going to learn about Toledo.
Fun facts about Toledo.
So they're working in a brand new kicker.
Okay.
In fact, on their depth chart, they actually have an or. If you flip to this page right here, Austin, they have an or next to kicker, which I have not seen that before, but they have an or next to the freshman kicker or a sophomore guy that they're going to be trotting out there.
Kicker or, that is new.
Yes, that is very rare. So, Austin, for... First time kickers. This, unlike previous years, Chance Poor actually got a chance to kick in four games before trotting out for the first time. What was it like your first time knowing that, okay, I've been here a year, but now it's my turn to be the full-time starting kicker?
Well, I think there's just a huge difference between high school football and college football. So any position, no matter the position, if you have a freshman that's there, their first play of the game, it's going to be nerve-wracking. And then kicker, everyone's only watching the kicker, and it's very cut and dry whether you did your job or you didn't do your job. Yeah, so
you can't just blend in like an offensive line.
Exactly. You can't, you know, maybe you got beat on one play and then your nerves settle down. Yeah. So you're just more exposed as a kicker, but that's a good thing for us. I mean, they're not getting their 3 points, and we are. That's going to be a good thing.
Especially, like, you feel like in their case, if they're in, like, about 40-yard range, they're just going to go for it. They're going to play to go for it.
Which can be good and bad.
Yeah, and sometimes it was good for UK last year.
School, because that can give them confidence, you know, they're good fourth down.
Mm-hmm. Or you can stuff them.
Exactly.
And then it gets out of hand.
Oh, yes. Vanderbilt last year.
Take the over.
I was going to save this for later in the podcast. It's the one thing on my topics list. But while we're talking kickers,
mm-hmm.
The other night I watched from the South Carolina game the special teams unit dance. It's a 40-second video. I think I watched it for a total of 2 hours on repeat. Then it hit me. The guy in the front of the pack is Austin McGinnis.
Leading the crew.
I don't think we've ever asked you about that.
Yeah, we haven't.
Did you know they were going crazy behind you? Because you're placing the ball on the tee. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
J.D. Harmon. Yes. And who else was out there?
Ashley Lowry.
Did you have a feeling that the crowd was cheering because of that, or did you think the crowd was cheering because you were placing the ball so
No. I knew that those dudes like to dance and get hype, and like that game, I can remember that South Carolina game like, specifically, because that was like when we were trying to break out as a program.
Hadn't had a big win yet.
Hadn't really had a big win. We got the chrome helmets. It's nighttime.
All black too. Unis. Very swagged out.
I think that was the first night with chrome helmets too, ever. Now they've worn them several times since then.
I think
they broke them out that night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big win for us. That kind of started us beating South Carolina. Ever since, I don't think we've lost to them.
But
that particular moment when you turned around and you just like, what are they doing?
I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm trying to get, I was young, so I was trying to get their attention to tell them what the play is. It's not working. No one's looking at me. I'm like, all right, well, just let it rip.
I was about to say, so what was the play? Is it like, because on NCAA, it's always like kick off middle.
Right.
Yeah, basically you're telling them which way we're going, and if they have a specific returner, then we might be kicking away from them.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but like I said, I was like a freshman there, a redshirt freshman, so I don't really know what I'm doing.
I also thought the image of you and them behind you, like you're facing away from them.
Yeah.
Is there anyone in the world you wouldn't have fought at that moment with them behind you going that crazy? Like, would you just walk into an alley and take on all comers knowing you have those 10 behind you losing their minds?
There's no doubt in my mind that they're going to make the tackle. It wasn't even a question.
Oh, man. That was a great game. And I think that was probably when we... I think that was after JoJo Todd.
Everyone stormed the field after that game. Yeah. JoJo played a huge role in that
JoJo
game.
JoJo was, like, dead.
Yeah. That was Patrick Toles. Mm-hmm. Ryan Timmons had a big touchdown that game.
The tip by Mike Douglas to Bud Dupree sealed the game. And I forgot, I could have sworn Jake Bentley was the quarterback for the game, but it was actually a guy named Connor Mitch, who is also just like the most generic quarterback generated name.
And
ever.
The tip, because I went back and watched almost the whole game, I kind of forgotten Kentucky just scored to tie it with 2.5 minutes left, so we're all thinking, just get a stop, we go to overtime.
Yeah.
The thought of a defensive touchdown with 2 minutes never entered anyone's mind.
No,
not
at all. So
there's first like game-changing play too, where like you got a turnover and score, and so that was a big deal.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Just in watching that, I knew I wanted to ask you about it because said they were all losing their mind and you're just up there. I didn't even know if you had a clue what was going on behind you. Cause the crowd
I didn't know until I turned around because we had just scored.
Because the crowd gets louder than it normally would in that situation. It kind of dies down a little bit from the touchdown and then it picks right back up.
Well, they had the music blaring too. Yeah. So I mean,
and that was the start of Grove Street.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, that
was.
That's when you know it's a big game is whenever like you just naturally start something. That like Grove Street Party, that song was relatively new, but it wasn't that new if it was playing at Commonwealth Stadium. Like, they aren't playing just the latest hits. So, for that song to have the lasting impact, I mean, Drew's going to be getting Snapchats of Grove Street Party for the next 20 years of his life. And now that I've said that, people listening to this on the way to the stadium Saturday are just going to start Snapchatting Drew.
just do it. I'm
so you're welcome.
That was one of the best atmospheres in Commonwealth Stadium too. Because like sure. People always ask me like, what's the best stadium you played at, and the best atmosphere, and it all depends on how close the game is. Because we went to Baton Rouge and it was a night game, sick stadium, sick atmosphere. They got the place packed, but we're getting blown out in the second quarter.
A lot of people might have left at halftime.
Well, it's just like, well, this game sucks. I don't like it here. Like, and same thing with kind of like Alabama. Like, it's cool. It's a big stadium. It seems like very professional. They got jumbotrons in every corner of this stadium. But it's like, my favorite places to play was like South Carolina.
Yeah.
And then some of those close, like the close Florida game, South Carolina at home. Beating Tennessee was a big deal, but like last year the Georgia game was a great atmosphere, but then it kind of tailed off because they kind of...
They were awesome.
We started to realize that we had no reason to be excited.
Yeah.
Well, and so...
We had some ways to go.
Yeah, their players were just a little different.
We were reminded rather quickly that we're not quite there yet.
Man, and even though the bowl game atmosphere was pretty cool in that it was a split stadium... And that, like, I even had like friends who were trying to bet on who had more fans in the crowd, and, you know, and it's basically just Louisville fans talking trash to Kentucky fans, and it really was about as close to 50-50 as you can get.
There might be Citrus Bowl you're talking about.
Yeah, and to have, and it was a back and forth kind of game too, where Kentucky would take over for like a quarter, and then Penn State would come roaring back, and then Kentucky. So like to have that kind of shift going back and forth, and. It was really cool. That was a great answer for me.
It reminded me of the old basketball games in Indiana and UK would split the arena.
Yeah, back to like, they'd go Freedom Hall to like the Hoosier Dome and stuff.
And it would be right down the middle. One year I sat on the aisle across from Indiana.
Where it split.
So you could, it was like my right ear, you know, this play would happen. My right ear would get all the noise and my left with the other.
Pretty awesome.
James Franklin was probably playing injured player.
Isn't he getting sued?
Yeah, The team doctors said that he would like pressure him into changing player status so they'd be able to play. And the doctor was like, this guy's injured, tell him no, he's
clear. Like when Trace McSorley broke his foot, didn't break his foot, that kind of thing.
But the doctor complained to the university, and instead of the university investigating, they fired the doctor. So he's now suing because of that.
I would sue their pants off.
Not shocked James Franklin did something
sketchy.
Yeah.
No, who would have thought? One other special teams thing I wanted to bring up that I just like thought was really interesting. Toledo last year blocked 7 kicks.
Wow.
Kick/punts. Tied for first in the NCAA with a couple other teams. And their tight end, Reggie Gilliam, he blocked 4 of them by himself.
Jeez.
Yeah, so.
And he's back?
Yeah.
Put a body on him.
He's also the, this guy's a really good tight end, but he won't catch a lot of passes. Big time blocking.
I was about to say, that's going to be on the NFL radar because he's got some kind of skill set. He's done that 4 times. Look at Josh Allen blocking it against Penn State. Like, that's a huge changing point in the game. If you can stop a team from putting points on the board,
now
we won by 3. So,
could you ever tell when a team is trying to run a block, or are you just laser focused on the uprights?
You got to be laser focused. Okay. You can't ever look. Because I mean, they're coming every time on the field goal. It's not like a punt where they're just
sometimes they're
play safe. Yeah. Occasionally they are, but those middle guys, they're kind of free reign because the field goal formation is so tight. No one's really spread out.
Right.
Everyone's
right.
Just right there up and on.
Yeah, and I wonder too if it was like if those instances were him coming from the edge and they were just really good at getting the like wingbacks to on their heels or what. But that is a crazy stat. So you know they're going to be aggressive on special teams if nothing else.
Yeah.
So he's like, this is before you were here, Austin and Nick. I don't know how old you were. I'm trying to look it up. Do you remember Lonald DeWalt?
Yeah.
He seemed to block everything. I'm trying to find an exact number on it.
So he. He went to Warren Central, I believe, and he has like the most iconic dunk in Sweet 16 history, like a tip slam where he just murdered somebody. They thought he was going to play 2 sports at Kentucky. Couldn't quite get a grasp on it, but he could block the hell out of some kids. Really good at blocking kids.
I feel like I found it, and then I popped up. Damn it. Okay, well, I'll have it in a second.
But
stupid ads.
Either way, it had to get you fired up whenever, like, because I know Bradley Del Pivito. He was an aggressive special
Bradley
team.
Bradley Del Pivito. He's great. He's just he wakes up and kisses excellence. That was his line. He's always
DeWalt really blocked 7 kicks.
Seven? Jesus.
That's a lot of kicks.
So many.
Yeah.
The fact that Josh Allen blocked a kick too in the bowl game last year is the most Josh Allen thing ever. And did you watch him play last week?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
You know, people passed around the highlights of him. He didn't have a sack. He had tackles for loss. There were 10 more plays where he was at the quarterback and maybe, you know, forced him towards another guy who got the sack. Like, if you just look at the box score, I didn't tell a third of the story.
Oh, yeah.
He lived in that backfield.
It was like the Mississippi State game last year where he was making Nick Fitzgerald uncomfortable the entire night.
Yes, but I think he can get ready for a sack.
Yeah, I think – exactly, yeah. And that's the kind of – did you – I knew that he was going to be a good pro, Austin, but I expected it to take longer. I didn't expect to see him being Josh Allen right away.
Well, I kind of thought about it last podcast, and I was like, well, we are going to lose Josh Allen. I don't think you can put, like, a price tag on how valuable he really was because of how clutch he was. Mm-hmm. He could literally just take over the game.
Right.
And so that worries me a little bit because, yeah, our D-line is experienced, but we don't have another Josh Allen, at least not yet.
No, we don't.
What's that just walked in?
Some giant C.J. Conrad. Cutouts.
I don't know why they're here.
Donated them.
CJ sent us up.
I got about 50 of those in my house. No one wants them.
Did you see Ryan Fitzpatrick's quote?
No.
Longtime NFL veteran quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He went to Harvard. He's smart.
Yes. He's been in the league at least close to a decade.
Yeah.
He said, I've been in this league a long time and I've never seen anything like Josh Allen.
That's a good quote. That picture of him staring at Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is terrifying.
It was only preseason.
So. No.
They're going to be a team to watch.
He was doing it without their big veterans, Clayus Campbell. I mean, they have some Pro Bowlers that will be distracting to open up for him.
Well, did you see the video of Clayus Campbell standing next to him? He is the biggest human being in the world. He's a 6'8 defensive end.
I couldn't believe
it. He makes Josh Allen look tiny. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I don't even remember what I was going to say. There's a bunch of like tall D linemen. You were talking about what's his name?
Calvin Taylor.
Calvin Taylor. And you're like, well, he's pretty big. And then I'm watching NFL preseason. I'm like, they all got a guy that's that big.
Which is very. I guess now that they're better athletes, the lengthy offensive linemen can use their length to their defensive line. Excuse me, can use their length to their advantage. When traditionally you want to do to just get up underneath the offensive line. Take up some space. But speaking of all of this, this ties in, great segue here. Toledo named Mitchell Guadagno?
Yeah, I don't know how to say that.
Mitchell Guadagno. Very, it's Italian for fragile. Mitchell Fragile is their starting quarterback, and he's a dual threat guy. So.
He had the highest pass efficiency in the MAC last year.
Yes. Yes.
But he also got hurt and missed six games.
Yes. So, Drew, remember like before Mark Stoops got here and we'd be like, oh no, they got a running quarterback. Are you still, does that thought still go through your mind?
No, it's changed because we now have the athletes and the talent to handle that. It used to be the case one of those guys would come in and I'd be like, well, let's just go get in the car and head home because this guy's just not going to be stopped. It didn't matter if I'd never even heard of the person. If he could scramble, the game was over.
And he was typically like a backup, too, that would come in and start running.
Oh, second-string quarterback was a big problem for the UK program for a long time, even before Stoops.
Freaking
We made a lot of second-string quarterback starters.
Yeah, of course. But now, especially with the linebackers, bring it.
I'm kind of with you now. The big thing that this defensive line did, they've gotten a lot of preseason praise. They cannot try to do too much against this guy. If they try to do too much, he'll just cut back. Yeah, they have to remain disciplined in their run lanes. But, like, I mean, am I really worried that, like, he's going to get past Boogie Watson or Josh Pascal? Like, I think this guy
– And Cash Daniels is going to want to rip his head off.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fact.
And this guy isn't – I mean, he's a guy who gets labeled as dual threat, but he was averaging – like, I don't know, 60 rushing yards a game last year, but a lot of it's dancing around and then just kind of breaking free against bad Mac defense.
Yeah, against the Mac.
Yeah, so stay disciplined and I'm with you, Drew. I quit the worrying stigma about running quarterbacks when, like, Felipe was last year. Maybe even years prior. But, like, Nick Fitzgerald was a dude who in years previous, like, he was just going to be bringing the power run and mowing dudes down. And he had to throw it the whole game because they couldn't do any of that stuff. So I'm not too terribly worried about this running quarterback. Me either,
but as you said, like, that's the hardest part about the first game, is just staying disciplined, because everyone knows in the back of their mind they're supposed to beat this team by 30 points, but you don't start out up 30 points.
Right. So you can get excited and antsy and forget your fundamentals.
Exactly.
Trying to make a big play and caught up in it.
Exactly. You don't, and that's what sometimes has hurt us in the past against these smaller schools, is that we want to already be up 30 and show everyone what we got, but you just got to put your head down and stick to it. What you got to do to get the first six, 7 points, and then go from there.
Right.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, and it's almost like the Southern Miss game a few years ago when they did get up 30 points or what have you. But that Southern Miss game, though, Austin, that was a, we got up 30 points, now we can rest on our laurels kind of deal. We don't have to stick to the fundamentals. And that was what Stoops talked about on his press conference Monday, was about, like, we got a lot of guys who were playing for the first time, you know, especially in the secondary, where they've played a little bit, but they haven't gotten their first dose of game action. They're going to be really fired up, and they need to hit somebody to kind of get those jitters out of the way. Right.
We got Drew there. What did he want? Can I have a question? He just stared at us. For those listening, he kind of walked up and stood here and stared at us while we have...
I mean, to be fair...
We have headsets on. We're clearly doing something.
I'm glad you fielded that, though.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to let
I was talking, and I completely forgot what I was talking about.
Well, we had to get
I was nervous. Fish.
And to be fair, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I don't know where anybody is that works here.
Oh,
they're on in the back.
You can actually see them all.
Oh,
this is the
he's got the KSR shirt on.
Big fan of the program. Big fan of the program.
Had to pause for application. We should also thank our sponsor. I'm throwing in a sponsor, because I don't think we have one.
Oh yeah.
What's your name?
Jason.
Jason's here in a Bob Ross shirt.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's watching us. He's our one fan here watching. This podcast is brought to you by Jason and the Bob Ross.
Jason from Bob Ross.
R.I.P. Bob Ross.
You have a question? We'll take questions.
Did I lay the 12 points?
Ooh, that's... Jason asked if he should lay the 12 points.
Great question. I am not a fan of betting Kentucky against MAC teams.
Yeah. Jason, I'm going to stay away. I would encourage you to do the same.
I usually stay away from UK games because I'm biased.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem. Is Jason's right. Is if you're typically biased in UK games, I don't think you can be biased when laying down a fortune on the over 6.5. Like, this is the surest bet in the history of American football ever since the 6 last year. Was it 5.5 last year? I think it was only 5.5 last year. That was stupid. But, yes, I think that is okay to be biased about the win total. But I don't like betting Kentucky, especially against MAC schools. I got a little bit froggy last year, I think, against Vandy. It was right after the bye week. And I forgot that bye week, something about that bye week, Austin, that everybody kind of chills out a little bit.
Well, you know, it's your off week to take a little vacation time. All that adrenaline's gone. Your soreness kind of seeps in a little bit. Oh, and then you got to go play.
Would you go home for bye weeks?
Or did you just hang around here? I did not. And I don't think bye weeks affect the kicker like they do, like offensive linemen. Yeah. Bodies have been getting
tired. I don't know.
You're not in the ice bath all weekend long?
Well, I am in the ice bath. I live in the ice bath, but for different reasons than they're in the ice bath.
I was going to ask Jason for his last name. But, he threw it out there. I was going to say, he's having looks like an LIT.
They're only $2 LIT, so, like, okay. Might as well take advantage of the deal. Which, by the way, if you're listening to this now, we're having anniversary deals at KS Bar all week that are pretty awesome. You can find them online at KS Bar on Twitter, Kentucky Sports Radio, but there's some very good deals out there.
Tomorrow, Wednesday night, 50 cent wings. I know what we put into our wings because they're higher grade than places that might be nearby.
Dude, who approved of this?
I think we're just giving away money.
Seriously?
50 cent wings.
Who? That
Wednesday
is.
Night, I would take advantage of that.
I'm going to get some $2 tacos after this because our tacos are bomb.com. But if you actually would like to sponsor this, KSR ads. At KentuckySportsRadio.com, send an email to us.
And our numbers are huge.
They actually are. Jason is going to get his money's worth.
Yeah, he really is getting his money's worth. Yes. It's
now,
a
I'm not
fantastic
saying
opportunity.
The 10 millions, but I'm not saying they're not either.
By the end of the year, it might be close.
Yeah, it really will.
But we also didn't mention Charles not being here.
Yeah, because he just abandoned us this week.
And you run out of khaki pants and then
show up. The water in Louisville got to him.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And he's ditching us this weekend, too. Ooh, I'm going to go to Chicago on a bachelor party.
Yeah, honestly, Phil's better team chemistry without him.
I know.
Maybe he was kind of a locker room.
He was holding us down. Maybe so.
Him and the guy.
I think it's the suit. The suit just really draws him. It's, you know, it's like this is a fun time for everyone in the suit.
Yeah.
We'll just tell him no more suits. Okay. He's got to change in the car. Okay.
Get the hell out of here, Charles. But yeah, so if you want to ever test KSR, it's at KentuckySportsRadio.com. A lot of different podcasting opportunities to go and help your business promote the hell out of it, because we will. If there's one thing we will do, we will sell your product. We will oversell it to death.
Maybe even wear your t-shirts.
Oh.
We tell you what you're going to get to make sure we hit the bare minimum.
Oh, but we're going way overboard.
To over-promote.
Yes.
Big fan of our sponsor.
Yes.
All right, back to Toledo.
Yeah,
okay, back to Toledo.
Doing a little reading over here.
Okay, a little light reading from the game notes.
Toledo had the number one recruiting class in the MAC, so things are looking up for that program. Am I right?
They are.
They were also.
They were picked to win the MAC West.
Yes.
So their confidence is going to be high, and they basically have a free shot at Kentucky Wildcats at Kroger Field because no one really expects them to win.
Exactly. Right.
So they can play free.
They also have a fun little stat about, I think it's their, they have like one of the best records. Yes, they're tied for 12th with the most wins in FBS since 2014.
And mind you, the names on that list are Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma,
there's
Georgia.
Some really good teams on that list, and Toledo's in that. They play a lot of winning football. They don't play a lot of defense. Good for Kentucky's offense. But Kentucky's defense is going to have to go against a familiar face, one that they faced on the scout team a few years back, and that is one Brian Kobach, who...
And he man,
how many yards did he have this freshman season?
917. He was just shy of 1,000. And there was a lot of... He didn't leave, I wouldn't say on the best of terms, but I wanted to clear the air on Brian Kobach because I think that there is some, I think that there's a little bit of misinformation out there because of the way they went about it. In the Kobach camp, they did it the right way for him to get eligible to play right away because he should have sat out last year. Instead, he got a transfer waiver to play right away and they didn't block his transfer. And so here's what happened. News comes out. Brian Kobach to transfer, he wants to go closer to home and play in the MAC. But Mark Stoops, evil Mark Stoops, is blocking the transfer. Bum, bum, bum. And then everybody who does anything to do with Kentucky football writes there, Mark Stoops should let Brian Kobach transfer. It's not right. He should be able to go home to his family. Well, those articles were written before Mark Stoops knew that Brian Kobach was transferring. Those were the rules for transferring. He basically asked for the paperwork, and the paperwork says you can't go anywhere where we play in the next 4 years. And that's just the baseline rule. So what the Kobach camp did is they leaked it out before Stoops even had a chance to think about it, so that the media could force Stoops' hand to say, you need to do this, Mark. This is bad. Why would you ever block a transfer? When really, that's just protocol. It's like every other basic protocol that they have in Kentucky football. And Stoops, he had to release a statement that day. It was like 4 hours later. Since I've been at Kentucky, our policy has been that we will not approve a transfer to an SEC school or future non-conference opponent. Until this afternoon, Bryant had never talked to me personally to ask me to change that policy. Following a discussion, I've decided to allow him to transfer to Toledo or Eastern Michigan or wherever he chooses. We wish Bryant and his family the best. The thing is 2 years passed and people, like, they completely forget that. And so they think there's some sort of, if anything, I think there would be ill will from Kentucky side because they kind of got hosed on this one. I'm Team Stoops on this one.
I'm Team Stoops on all matters.
I agree. But since the NCAA has changed the rule now, so there's no bans on the player where they can go, is that correct?
I think that the transfer rules changed so much that, like, because I think the SEC just recently said you can transfer wherever, which is why Kelvin Joseph has come to campus. But just Kobach, he's going to be good. He's going to be really fast. And I certainly think he's going to want to show up for his big team, his former team, and say, hey, you should have played me instead of Benny Snell. And then they're going to laugh and then give up like one or two big plays.
They're going to laugh. He'll have a big game. I don't think he's going to go out and win the game, but he'll put up good numbers.
Yeah, and I think especially UK secondary, they're liable to give up big plays in the run and the pass. Because if you get to that second level, they've got to take the right angle, pursuit angles. And Kobach's fast too. He's a good athlete, and he's going to put up some numbers. But outside of that, I'm pretty confident that Kentucky is going to be able to contain the Rockets.
I am too. I think it might be a little closer than we want it, but never in jeopardy, if that makes sense. We're never going to think, oh my goodness, they're going to lose. But it could also not be the blowout people want.
And that closeness too, Drew, I think is just going to be a byproduct of first game slop.
Yeah.
Like stupid penalty, you know, maybe we get a Stenberg penalty, you know, where he's popping somebody late.
We're getting some Stenberg penalties this year.
Yeah.
Maybe not week one, but we'll have our share.
Yeah, they will definitely happen. But
can we give a shout out to KSR superfan Ronnie, who just walked in?
Oh, hey, Ronnie.
Ronnie's into the menu, but we got to give Ronnie a shout out. And it's your birthday?
Happy birthday, Ronnie.
Happy birthday. Woo! Ronnie is the man. He walks in. Didn't even know we'd be having a birthday party today, and here he is.
Yeah, having a birthday party for Ronnie.
Ronnie, what's your Twitter? Everyone listening, go tweet RonnieLee300 and tell him happy birthday.
Happy birthday at RonnieLee300. That's fantastic. Glad you're here celebrating with us, Ronnie.
I didn't know you guys were going
to
be here.
I know.
We didn't know you were going to be here. It was destiny.
It was certainly destiny.
We got to get back to talking football.
Yes, we will
happy
talk.
Happy birthday.
Can I just say, too, that I'm cooking up a big idea for our pre-quarter football podcast. Cooking up something. I've got a big idea.
Cooking up something.
I've got to approve it through our podcast producer. But I think I've got it.
I thought you were our podcast producer.
I have a good Bradley Dale people story.
Oh.
Kind of flip-flop.
What's flip-flop?
So, back in the Bradley Dale people days, leading up to the Florida game, he took us out to the Red Mile. And there we experienced Gatorhead. We ate some Gator.
Oh.
We dabbled in a few other, you know, whatever, fine foods.
Yes.
And we got out of it. But he set the tone. We were eating Gator. So
I love that it was at the Red Mile, too.
The Red Mile, that's a place.
Well, we basically keep, you know, there's a chef at Red Mile, or I don't know what he does. He caters at Red Mile.
He works there? He's a chef that's just always at Red Mile?
I don't know the specifics for this guy, okay? He's the Gordon Ramsay of Kentucky, I'll tell you that.
Okay, much. Good to know.
And, you know, he comes and cooks for the football team, does all these big grills. He stoops his guy. Like,
okay.
Gotcha.
You know, if we're going to have a fancy meal, this guy's cooking. He's in charge.
Good to know.
I don't know where I was going with that, but just know
that. No, I like knowing that your special teams coach took you out to eat Gator.
Yes.
Right before Pivotal. That's a great.
And we're pro Red Mile.
Reach out to Bradley Dale Pivotal on Twitter and tell him what's up. Tell him UK still loves him.
And to Red Mile.
Didn't he get me?
Depends your definition.
All right, so back to Toledo.
Toledo.
I'm seeing a stat that really stands out to me.
Okay.
They were ranked 17th nationally in defensive touchdowns.
Really? So they were very opportunistic when turnovers presented themselves.
Yeah, and you know those are things that can be game-changing plays, or you know, keeping it in the game. And I know people like to throw hate at Terry, so it seems like he's going to have a little test.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm most excited to just see A.J. Rose run all over these fools.
Or us throw over, like, 150 yards.
Yes, that would be cool, too. But I have a feeling that A.J. is going to get a big run, then they're going to stack the box, and then we're going to pop him on play action. That's one thing that Green didn't do a lot last year, which didn't make much sense to me. I guess he didn't really trust the combination of E.J. Price and the true freshman, Darian Kennard at left tackle. But, like, they didn't run a lot of play action last year, and I feel like that could have been Terry's bread and butter with that kind of rushing attack behind him. That's something that, especially with tight ends, you can just hop across the middle, easy 12-yard. Or let it rip down the Lynn Bowden in the middle of the field. How happy would you be if this first play, Grand just pulls out the old-fashioned Bobby Petrino first play where we're going to play action and just throw it 60 yards down the field and see what happens?
I'm expecting it. I don't know if it would work, but I think they're going to take a shot right away.
Oh, man. How awesome was it?
Especially, he's going to want to, after all the criticism he got, for not opening things up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to say, oh, you want me to open it up? Watch this.
I mean, go back to the first play at New Commonwealth Stadium whenever the clock broke. And as soon as they got the clock fixed,
fix boom went 75 yards for a touchdown.
That was a great moment.
That's pretty awesome.
If AJ has a big day, my past events last weekend where I proposed and whatnot, I have this gigantic bag of rose petals that they gave me to do at the
Serenade.
Castle. And I told them, I was like, that's a little much. They wanted to do like a half. And they're like, oh, okay, well, here, you can just have the bag. So I have these rose petals with nothing to do with them. Should I hand them out at give it to someone in the end zone and maybe have them throw them.
Student section.
Yeah.
Yeah, great idea.
It's a gigantic bag, and I don't know what to do with it.
That's a great idea, Drew Franklin.
I'll smuggle that in and get that in student.
If you're a student.
We need AJ to score on that side.
Yeah, and then just cover him, shower him with rose petals.
He's got to stand there like this.
And then maybe we start a tradition.
And I know it's probably frowned upon to throw things onto the field, and so I'm not encouraging that.
It changes the Kroger field in the day.
But I do think, like, that bringing fake roses to the student section would be a wise idea.
Or Kroger, they sell roses. Set up a little shop for people sitting there and have them buy them and then throw them.
Another great idea from the thinker.
Man, we are just full of great ideas.
I don't know
ideas
why UK marketing hasn't hired me yet.
My goodness.
I guess because I'm just doing their work for free.
You're going to be that's probably why. You're going to be the next inside hire.
Let's not forget the brains behind the Josh Allen band in the draft.
Yeah, first they get TJ Bosner, then Curtis Burge.
Thank you from that one.
Now they're going to get Drew Franklin. I'm worried. We might lose the podcast.
I will never leave this podcast.
To drag me from my cold dead body. How pumped is Vince Mero to get a crack at his old school? You think he's going to be like talking trash on the sidelines, or is he just
going to he's going to be respectful. Toledo means a lot to him. He still recruit that area. I think he's excited to play him, but it's all love.
Okay. Kind of like whenever UK basketball would play like Dwayne Peavy's old school.
Yeah.
Like, was it Montevallo?
Montevallo.
Yeah.
We played Coach Cal's old school a couple years ago.
Clarion?
Yeah, it's more of a respect and a good to see you than I'm kicking the teeth in. I mean, he's going to want to kick the teeth in because he wants to be good.
Yeah.
But in a tasteful way.
If they were a Power 5 school, I might think different, but
yeah.
You can't shoot down like that.
No.
That's
in the
true.
Position that we're in.
That's
and
very
especially,
true.
I mean, they're in Toledo still all the time. We have a couple of Toledo constant crew in that area.
Freshman
they're
Kayvon
not
Butler.
Doing anything to piss off the good people of Toledo. Mm-hmm.
Phil Hoskins, which his 2-game suspension is noteworthy, but it's kind of like, oh, we're missing for the MAC schools. You know, there's plenty of defense along to rotate in. But I do feel bad for Phil. Toledo's his hometown.
Yeah, he probably was really looking forward to this first game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to come back for that Florida game, I'm telling you guys, that game, I mean, everyone already knows it. I talked about it last week, but that's going to be epic. I mean, both going to be sitting at 2-0, literally prime time.
Officially a sellout. Home.
Yeah, that was always going to be a sellout.
Yeah.
And that place is going to be rocking.
Absolutely rocking.
Yeah, they're not the – they're the Florida Gators, but they're not they're down. They're not Georgia.
I, going into the year, thought people were being a little high on Florida, and Felipe Franks just showed me that that's I had the right mindset. That guy's not taking it anywhere.
That guy is not going to
beat Kentucky, but
how funny,
they're not elite within a quarterback.
How funny was it when he said, I do this?
Hello.
And it was, he scores a touchdown and says, I do this, and then he goes and throws like a terrible interception.
And then he kind of, was he trying to have a Tebow moment after the game where he apologized for not scoring 50 and then he promised they're going to score 50 in every game?
It was very.
I'll take the bet that they don't score 50 all year.
It was very, very odd. I didn't understand the, he's just a weird dude. And his face is weird. I just don't like it. There's just something about his face.
Are y'all talking about Felipe?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
no, just look at what he did on the sidelines the whole game. He's just chirping to every fan, chirping to the cameras.
It's just so.
He's a chirper. No one really likes a chirper unless they're like absolutely the best player on the team.
Yeah, Benny was a chirper, but he's backing it up.
Yes.
Franks, you are not backing anything up.
No, you're just sucks. Full of suck. I will say there are tickets still available for Toledo and Eastern Michigan. And folks, there's a deal that's really awesome. You can find it at UKAthletics.com/tailgateandtickets. I'll probably put it on the website later too, just to remind people. But UKAthletics.com/tailgateandtickets. You can get an all-you-can-eat barbecue meal and a lower-level ticket to the Toledo game or to the Eastern Michigan game for $40.
$40 to sit in the lower bowl and then get fed before
you. All right, we're definitely going to need a check from UK. I mean, we're selling tickets, we're giving them ideas.
I mean, this is just incredible. UK, KSR ads at KentuckySportsRadio.com. But just keep that in mind because it's going to be a nice day. It might get a little toasty because it is a noon kickoff, but there's nothing like being there for that first home game of the year. And I'm so excited.
I think me, all the fans, and just everyone associated with the team can hope for a lot of running the ball. If we're up, let's hope that we're just running out that clock because everyone wants to get home, get
watch
to watch
the other games,
the better sleeted games on the schedule. So all the players are going to hate a noon kickoff, but you love a noon kickoff once it's over.
Oh, yeah.
Or they might want it being the first game of the year, so they don't have to wait, you know, even all longer. Day. Like, let's just get to it.
Do you have a favorite kickoff time, Austin?
Yeah, I think I like a nighttime game. I really do. I just think the atmosphere is the best at a nighttime game. We've had some big, like, 3:30 kickoffs, but it's so hot at 3:30. Like, we're starting smacked out. Some people don't like night games because you just sit around in a hotel all day.
Right.
And you're really waiting for
it. Yeah, someone like Cash, all you want to do is just get out there and start hitting people. I bet he has problems Saturday at noon when it's a 7 kickoff. Yeah. He's probably just throwing things around the hotel.
Well, like, when you brush your teeth with Red Bull, you probably don't want to wait around all day in the hotel.
That's true.
I completely lost my train of thought. But.
That's all right. We're all getting excited. As a fan, I like the night games for the same reasons, but this first one, ooh. I want to wake up
yeah.
and I want to go.
I want to experience it, and then I want to get home and watch the rest of the games because we have Auburn and Oregon that did some good college football happening. I believe there's college football Sunday night, and then Notre Dame is going to take the cardinal bird with teeth and remove every single one of its teeth mm-hmm. and beat the dirty dog crap out of them. And even before all that, Thursday night, I think there's something like 12 or 16 football games.
Yeah.
There's a stupid amount of Thursday night football. And folks, I'm just here to tell you, Thursday night's my favorite. Play a little cards, drink some beverages.
Well, because we don't have to work. We need to keep up.
Exactly. You need to watch it all. Have like two TVs going. NFL, it hasn't started yet, but there's typically like an average NFL game on. And they got a pretty good broadcast crew for ESPN. They got McAfee and Tim Hasselbeck.
That'll be good.
They got Pat McAfee doing
Thursday night games. Because he's a great carnival barker. Great hype.
Exactly. I have some energy. He's not afraid to get loose. You know, say some things.
Not out of bounds, but
he's for the brand.
He knows the line, and he'll get up on that line.
Yeah,
he'll
walk on the line, tee the line, do jumping jacks on the line.
How happy are you that you do have, like, he's your representative for specialists?
You know, that makes me proud because I think specialists get labeled in a certain way, especially like a high school specialist is not the same as a D1 specialist. It's
right.
Not the same as an NFL specialist. Like, people get joked on, like, for example, Carly Lloyd comes out, hits a 55-yard field goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's reports, so she's getting calls from NFL teams, and it's like, kind of, you know, like, it doesn't make you feel the best about being a kicker. Like, oh, well, she did it for one day. But, you know, she's 5 yards away, so she's doing, like, a kickoff run up to the
ball. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of intricacies. So to have someone like Pat, who, you know, he's starting to post stuff, this is a huge deal for him to be able to post Thursday night football.
First special teamer ever to be the color guy on broadcast?
He's leading the pack. You know, I'd like to have a nice, you know, 10, 15-year career in the NFL and do the same thing he's doing. We also have...
This is a good training ground. Yeah.
Jay Feely.
Who... Why does everybody hate him?
I feel like
most people don't like him because he's kind of a twerp.
I think what you're talking about is something came out. There was, like, a prom picture with his daughter and he had a gun.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
No one really does. No, there's no reason
people
don't like
him.
He's not a twerp either. He's like a stout dude. So, but I know you're a tall guy.
Pretty soon. Aren't you in a draft too pretty soon?
Yeah. We're in XFL draft.
Do you have plans for draft party? Can we like sit in your living room like they do for the NFL?
Yeah. And if we record it, I'll make a vlog out of it.
Yeah, have you made arrangements?
No, because I don't even know like when the specific day is going to be.
I Googled it. I'm pretty good at Google. I have scoured the internet looking for a date, and I don't think they have one.
No, because what they're waiting on is all these NFL players are going to get
released.
It says
it'll be soon after the cuts, which is Tuesday, next.
I think
say, that's coming
Tuesday.
Up soon.
I think they don't want to put a hard date on it because basically what's going to happen is if you do sign to the XFL, you're not going to be eligible for the NFL that season. So there's going to be some guys teetering on whether to do it because they might get called up mid-season or whatever.
Right.
So I think they just gave themselves time to get the personnel and everyone. Because like I said, right now they don't even know who's going to get cut. So they just want to give themselves some lead time and leeway.
I hope you end up on Andrew Luck's team. You all will by far be my favorite.
You know what I've been thinking about though? I'm like, how are they going to do this? Like, the same as the NFL draft, and the kickers are all eight of us. It's only eight teams. It's going to be the last pick. So, like, are they going to go by positions? Because they're going to do quarterbacks, they've said, before the draft even starts. Like,
do like a quarterback kind of
thing. Oh, you're saying it might be like a quarterback round and there's a running back round?
Or? See, I don't know. That would make me feel better. It's like,
you think you could fight up with the green room?
You know, I think so. I got my hopes high that I'm going to shake the commissioner's hand, on some, some pregame posters and stuff.
It's your life. I'm not going to tell you what to do on draft night. But if there's an opportunity to stage like a Brett Favre old school draft party where we sit around and
have like a land on,
like you're in the middle of the couch on the phone and we're all cheering and crying. We're in.
Yeah, count me in. I will even get one of those old school like tearaway jerseys.
I like that.
Like with the midriff showing. Yeah.
The thing is, you have to jump in a pool after or something, but I don't have a pool, so
we'll figure that out.
We'll figure that out. What is per water?
We got young Einstein.
Yeah, he's got all the ideas. We do got some questions from the crowd that I would love to answer, like from Chris, who said, "Whatever happened to Javonte Richardson?" And people remember he committed to UK, but he never came to campus. And when that happens at the JUCO,
he came to campus. I met him
again.
Media day.
He came back.
Oh no, I just mean the first time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He was definitely at a media day.
Yeah, and then he left, went to JUCO. He was going to come back after he got his grades right, but I just am assuming that never happened. So that happens.
I don't know his future, but I think we can probably give up on him.
Yep, I think let's go ahead and eat safe to write him off. Cole, ooh, he's taking some assumptions with this. He says, please have McGinnis set the record straight that Bama does offer scholarships to kickers. Austin, are you going to set the record straight?
Yes, Alabama does have a new kicker that is a scholarship kicker, and he will probably be one of the best kickers in the nation. So I think that
he's like one of their first that they've offered.
No. They've had guys in the past. They've just missed. They've always gone for like the big leg guy. But
instead of the money man.
The money man is going to get them 3 points. It hasn't even mattered to them. So.
We're about 40 playing new kicking.
Cole also wondered if Saban ever talked to you about kicking for me.
No, because they scholarshiped the guy in 2012. I graduated in 2013, so they're not even.
No. Not going to look for a few years.
I didn't even go to their camp.
Jared has a two-part for us. Who could build the best sandcastle, and who could destroy the most sandcastles in 2 minutes? And I think we're talking about Kentucky football team. I'm going to say the best builder is Drew Schlegel because he's a man of many odd talents. He's the guy with the mullet who is a character.
He cut the mullet.
He cut it? Well, he had it for at least the
he
team.
He said he's going to grow it back out. He cut it for his girlfriend's.
Not a good reason.
He said by game one it should be back. I mean, he's saying that he had normal length hair, and I'm looking at him like, how are you going to pull this off? But I'm not going to doubt it.
A lot of
Nick said he's got a lot of talents. Maybe he'll have full head of hair on him on Saturday.
If you just sit and you focus really hard on your hair getting longer,
I wouldn't put it past
him. I'm pretty sure Cash would destroy the most sandcastles, correct?
Yeah.
Like, just in
no, I disagree. He would take too long on each one, like doing moves.
Overkill.
Like, yeah, he could go way over the top.
Flying elbow drops and stuff.
He would smash two beers together after he demolished one.
So every
I'm eliminating Cash.
I think.
We need somebody quick.
Mine would easily have been Jordan Jones back
Jordan
in the past.
Jordan Jones.
Oh, yeah.
For this year.
But he would have messed up the whole beach.
Yeah.
Like the Tasmanian Devil.
Yeah, exactly. I think Bully McCall, he has the punch, but I don't know if he's 2 minutes is way too long for Bully.
I think you need to look at a linebacker with a good pass rush who can
so
swim move all these castles and keep moving.
So Boogie.
Boogie Watson.
I'm going to go with the smaller guy there because I feel like quickness and agility, you're in sand.
Yeah.
How far away
but,
are you?
But here's the thing, Boogie, people forget he's a tap dancer. So he's got really light feet. I think he can get to the sand quickly.
I can support that.
So we're gonna let's go with the swim moves and the fast. But you're right though in that it does need to be a little quick guy. Maybe even tiny little Akeem Hayes. He's from Florida. He could have been a nice wild card candidate.
Get enough push. You're not some of them.
That's true.
My builder. I know you went with Schlegel. I'm going with Drake Jackson. He's a good foundation, that offensive line. He'll have built a good foundation on his castle.
Oh, man.
He's a great leader.
That's
people
a good,
listen to him.
He could delegate. Yeah.
Yeah. You would have some amazing castles from Drake Jackson. He's from Woodford County. They have a castle over there.
Oh, you were just in the castle.
I was in the castle.
Oh, man.
Speak on that architecture for a second. Cobble, listen,
everyone,
is there a cobblestone?
Everyone should go to the Kentucky Castle and eat there. Or stay.
Is the food good? They got the same guy that Stoops got?
I sat down with the missus. I haven't proposed at this point yet. And we're having a private dinner on the balcony first. And they come get our drink order. And they said, your oxtails will be right out. And she goes, why did you order us oxtails? And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't even know what those are. But minutes later, here came a big plate full of oxtail. And it was the most delicious dish I've ever had in my life.
Wait. So this wasn't like a bit that they were calling something else an oxtail. It was
no.
An actual
tail. And I don't know if they
tail.
Thought I ordered them, because I didn't know what it was until I put it in front of my face. But the food there is spectacular, and I recommend the oxtail.
So I want to know more about what went into the thought process and the planning before all this went down. How many weeks? Like
3 days.
When did you know? That's when you knew the castle? Yes. I like this.
We worked fast.
Okay, good. I like that.
Good job.
What did she think was happening when she's sitting on the balcony at the castle?
She knew at that point.
Okay, that's what I figured.
And then I don't want to... Does Dr. Mike listen to this podcast?
I don't know.
I don't want to make Dr. Mike, our photographer, feel bad, but he heard through the grapevine this was going down. I didn't ask him because it's Friday night, but he said, I got to be there for you. I'm taking pictures. And I gave him specific instructions. At dinner...
He was supposed to dress up like the jackal.
At dinner, he walked through the wrong door and made direct eye contact with her. And then... Instead of playing it cool, like, oh, what are you all doing here? He ducked behind something. And it was very clear she saw him. So at that point, I mean, she already knew, but that didn't help. I don't want to make her feel bad. We played it off like she didn't
know.
No,
and
she definitely saw him.
He took great pictures, too.
She said his awkward duck was the most obvious thing. Like, he just got behind a plant and said
that. Austin, did you do anything fancy for your proposal?
No, I didn't. I just did it at our place, because that's for me and my relationship, kind of like Drew was speaking on. I didn't want to do it in front of a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
I think everyone goes about it their own ways.
My wife's very anti, like, people and attention, so it was the same with me. Now, she did, I was considering doing it at in the infield at Oaks or Derby,
okay.
But I was terrified that I would get way too inebriated and lose the ring.
Yeah. I didn't even like driving to the castle with the ring in my car. The moment I heard that I was safe, I was keeping it in, I'm paranoid. So people who travel places and fly with it, infield would be a horrible move.
Yeah.
I would have lost it.
Well, the fact that you made it like past a day, the same day I got the ring in the mail was the same day I proposed. I'm not sitting on this gem. It's beautiful.
See,
I wanted to know how much I love her with this beautiful diamond.
I sat on mine for over 2 months.
I had mine.
That's discipline.
Mine was a ring for my grandmother that I had for months, and my parents kept asking, so are you going to do this, or what are you waiting on? I'm like, just let me do it at my own pace. Jesus.
Well, what took me so long is I wanted to ask her dad, and he was supposed to do it face-to-face, and he lives 4 hours away,
and
I can't just sneak off and do that. It took me a while. I didn't love having it sit around for 2 months.
Yeah, that's
that makes sense. I asked the dad, Wayne, for like a month in advance, so that I could start thinking about
when you were
how am I going to go with the rest of the plan. But I like seeing you
see,
pictures. You're kind of a media star, so you have to have someone photographer.
The thing that I liked, Austin, is that now that we've been through it, we know that you're nervous to do it, even though you know she's going to say yes.
Yes.
Like, I was stumbling all over myself. Like, to the point where my stomach was turning over. Brooke didn't even know that I was, she first caught on when I was like, I ordered a Sprite at a restaurant. I haven't ordered a soda at a restaurant in forever, but my stomach, was wrecked. I'm like going to the bathroom, giving myself a pep talk. The thing is like, they're going to say yes.
Yeah,
but you still, just sweat it out. And I know that's what
Drew was going to do. I know this isn't the KSR proposal podcast, but I do have to tell myself everything was going smooth. Although I was very awkward at dinner because we got done fashion, I thought, and the sun wasn't really where I wanted it. So after, and then she's like, "I have to use the bathroom." I was like, "You can't. You got to sit right here." I'm like, "That was weird." She's like, "Do you want dessert?" She's like, "No, I'm just stalling." But I get up there, everything's smooth. I said, I winged the speech and all that. Said something nice. I blacked out. I don't remember what I said, but she said nice. Then I take the knee, I open the box, and I forgot to ask her. So I'm staring at her, and she's not saying anything. And I'm like, is she really about to know me on the top of this castle? So I went, are you thinking about it? And she said, you still haven't asked. So
I went, oh, dope. So
I went, oh, yeah.
Homer Simpson did.
So I went, oh, yeah. It was a very awkward couple of seconds.
That's hilarious.
You know what I did to assure the yes? I had a little pair of diamond earrings in there.
Oh, man.
Just a little cherry on top. Gosh. You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't necessarily for the marriage, but this is for you.
Oh, man. That is a great
what
idea.
What if she had said,
really
I'll take
pie.
The earrings, but I need time.
Oh, you're done. You're not getting the earrings. Oh, you're done.
That could have been a disaster. So.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to football.
That was a lot of fun. Just another, who had the most rushing touchdowns?
On the year or in the game?
Year.
AJ.
Yeah. Kevin says it's going to be smoke. I think Rose, at the most, will get like 8 or 9 carries.
I bet Rodriguez has more than smoke.
Mostly because Rodriguez, you can put him in short yard situations.
Yeah, after what he did, and that was Murray State, right, last year?
Yeah.
Where he carried people like 25 yards, I don't need to see anything else.
Yeah, so, I agree with that. I think he's going to be good.
Now, Smoke will probably have like a couple crazy runs, but Rose is
I go more yards, Smoke, more touchdowns, Rodriguez.
And then Rose, just overall, he's going to be the feature back.
Yeah, but I could see on a goal line situation, Rose is gassed. It's like Rodriguez, lower your head.
Yeah, AJ gets the big run to get down like the 5 and then just hand it to the bowling ball.
Smoke's going to be a crowd favorite, though, just because simplicity of last name.
And I can't wait to say Pastor Kavasi.
Yeah, it's going to be great. He doesn't like being called Kavasi. He just likes Smoke.
I'm going to call him by his first name. That's how I was talking.
Yeah,
you're a respectful man, dude.
Austin asks, who's the player for Toledo that we need to be most worried about?
That's Kovac, right?
See, I think it's got to be Kovac. They really don't. Outside of that, they lost. So one of the receivers that actually played for them last year is Lonnie Johnson's cousin.
Ah.
John Vea Johnson.
Wait,
who,
is he from Gary, Indiana, too?
Yep, Gary, Indiana. Oh, and now plays with Cowboys, with
Chris Westbrook.
I think he's going to make a... You kind of pay attention to the Cowboys.
They gave him a big signing bonus.
I was
going to
say,
so. He got a check that most people in his position don't get.
Well, I think he had a lot of, for not being drafted, because like when I was at Vikings minicamp, they were asking me about Westbrook. Just because he's so unique at 6'4", like, they love that.
Yeah.
Not to say he's not a good football player on top of that.
I don't know that he will, but the fact that they paid him $100,000, which they don't normally do for an undrafted rookie.
Yeah.
They also, though, the NFL does not care how much money they gave you when it comes time to make the 53-man roster.
That's true, especially the Cowboys, because they got a pretty big pot of money.
Ooh, maybe they keep Chris Westry, cut Zeke Elliott. Say, hey, you're holding out, we're going to keep Chris Westry.
How about them Cowboys?
There we go. Did you have another LIT?
First thing, I had a flashback, like a little tad. Thought I was in Alabama.
One thing I'm worried about, I do follow my teams closely, but I popped my head in a Giants website the other day, and they're predicting CJ to the practice squad. I thought he played well enough to get some serious
They have some depth at tight end.
I didn't like that.
They all look the same as CJ.
The problem that CJ has, too, is they just need bodies at receiver. And he's, so like they would be more willing to take, go sign somebody else than.
That's good to be on the practice squad. It's like Jeff Badette has been on the practice squad at Minnesota. But
I just feel like if you were with another organization, you might be on the real roster. They just have a couple too many options there.
Yeah, we're nice to the Giants right now, though, because they've been good to our buddy Jerry.
Oh, very nice to the Giants.
So we can't go tell them to stick
with
somebody.
They're a first-class organization. I'll give them some.
I was never anti-Eli. I feel like a lot of people kind of laugh at some Eli jokes.
Very,
his facial expression never changes.
Low-hanging
fruit.
He's so boring. Yeah.
Completely Team Eli.
Most boring two Super Bowl winner quarterback in a while.
And he would be like very good, then very bad. Very, very bizarre kind of player. Speaking of play, so here's the thing. Kentucky's playing Toledo on Saturday. They're going to smash the Rockets into oblivion. We're going to be like Reagan's freaking Star Wars program, just shooting rockets out of the sky, crushing Toledo this Saturday at noon at Kroger Field. If you can't make it to KS Bar, if you can't make it to the Crow, you can catch all of the action
or do on both and take the shuttle.
The SEC Network. Yeah, or do both. Yeah, you can also watch the SEC Network. I also would like to say that Austin, how much is the gas here? Are you gonna cover?
You know, I'm not gonna bet on the game, but I would say that I think we'll cover 12 points.
I think it's gonna be 38-20. Even though
I hate that.
Like, I feel like that's the right amount of points ish.
Yeah, I don't hate that either. That sounds. I mean, I would be
even
happy
though they
with
would be covered, I would be happy with it too. Maybe 31-21 as the non-covering score. But I feel like Kentucky. I'm really excited about where Kentucky is in the trenches against this match.
I think on both sides of the ball, it's going to be pretty dominant on Kentucky's end. I think Kentucky will cover, but as we said a little bit earlier, I don't think it enough that I will be participating.
Yeah,
like, right. If you're just making me in conversation pick a side, I will take UK to cover 12, but I'm not putting my money where my mouth is. I've seen way too many UK non-conference games that should have been whoopings, and they were close.
Well, and this is a winning Toledo team, too, so there's a reason that the spread is at 12.
Yeah.
And so, and this is their biggest game on the schedule, is Kentucky. So they've had this circle since off-season workouts where it's Kentucky's thinking about going to the SEC championship, they're not necessarily circling right. Toledo.
And I would like to remind our fans, when they're watching at home this weekend or at the Crow, that it's going to be a sloppy game. There's going to be times where they make really dumb mistakes.
They're going to give up some big plays.
Yes.
Do not panic.
Yes.
No. We repeat, do not panic.
And if Kentucky only wins by 10, fine. It's a win.
We should do Ronnie's prediction. It's birthday. Ronnie, what's the score for the game Saturday? Your prediction?
High score.
38 for Kentucky. Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
That's exactly what I predicted,
Nick,
Ronnie.
Nick just said that. You weren't even listening.
Wow. We
are on the show.
All right, now I'm betting it. I'm betting the exact score.
38-21, folks. You heard it here first. We've spoken into existence.
Yeah. I'm also going to go 38-21.
Well, we've spoken for quite a while, though, now. It's time for us to go.
We got off topic a lot.
But we will be back with much more, maybe even another guy talking with us next week on the KSR Football Podcast. Thanks for listening. Go Cats. And peep the technique. Don't sweat the technique.